Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show and welcome back. Remember, you can call us at 323-203-0815. And tonight I'd like to once again thank the One Institute for sponsoring us and bringing us to you every Friday night. We have a lot of questions that came in. We had a special guest last week, which was fantastic. But we weren't able to take a lot of your calls, and we weren't able to answer a lot of your questions.
Why don't we tell who our guest was and what he does?
Robert Storr, suicide prevention, a most amazing human being.
Director of D.D. Hirsch.
Yes, director of D.D. Hirsch. So if you missed that show and you're interested or you know somebody who is in pain or you think might be considering that, take a look at our archive and take a listen to that show. It was fantastic. Dr. Allen,
you still have my bronchitis.
Yes, but you are on the air.
I'm fine.
You're here.
And a whole medley of doctors said I'm fine.
That you're fine. Fantastic. You have worked with Robert a lot. And
yes, he was an intern of mine when he was studying to be a therapist. Then he became a student at the Wan Institute, which is geared for training people to do what I do. Then he left, and he went off to do real estate and make money and do that. And then his partner killed himself.
Yes.
And Robert came back, and we've reconvened our relationship in a way where he's gone towards D.D. Hirsch and is the director there, and I am with my
One Institute.
And so we are making a difference in the world. And I thought he was wonderful, and I could see the growth that he had experienced since we were separated about 10 years.
Right.
So we've known each other about 20-some years.
Right. Well, he is a major inspiration, and I had a lot of feedback from some people that I personally knew that were in a lot of pain from my friend, unfortunately, and his death by suicide. So it was a very touching show for them. And they wanted to thank you and I for having Robert here. And I, again, want to thank Robert for being here.
Good.
We already have a call. Should we take it?
Yes.
Let's do it. Caller, you are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, lay it on us.
Oh, okay. What I want to know is, I know that men, after they hit 45, they go into perianderpause phase.
Yes.
And Pat Allen said that they're more female. Are they more female than masculine?
No, they're not more. They're equal. They become very androgynous. If you
And then women, since I'm in my 60s, I'm more masculine, right?
Very much so, but you can fake beta, and that means if you want to be cherished and men aren't used to being women, that it would behoove you to speak like a respectful young woman to a respectable, mature man.
Okay, so we shouldn't run after them like we're men. Even they're in the perianderpause, right?
You should chase them, did you say?
No, we shouldn't. I mean, I'm just saying, we're masculine and they're feminine. We should act like men with them. We should act the way we would be if they were younger, right?
No, because some men, literally, they say to you, what do you want to do this weekend? And you go, oh, I wish you would stop asking me that. In fact, I'd love to ask this audience right now, how many women are mad at men because they go feminine and need us to be the leaders? Well, I've got news for you. Each specimen of male is at some continuum level of male-female biochemistry. And we okay. are exactly the same. So with Mr. A, you may literally be a more creative date designer than he is. And for that reason, when he says, what do you want to do? He's really saying, please make it easy for me, because I really don't want to think and take the responsibility. So would you please run our date life? I always say,
okay.
See what I mean? And the way you would say is, honey, or tutti frutti, or what do you want to call it? he said to you, what do you want to do this weekend? And you say, first of all, I want to tell you how much I like and feel cherished by your respect. And as a matter of fact, I have an idea or two that you might enjoy. So is it convenient right now for me to tell you? Or do you want to do it some other time today or tomorrow? You see? So you get permission.
Okay.
And then he says, no, do it now. And then you say, well, there are three things I want to give you a choice of. One is going to the movie, blank, blank, blank. The other one is going for a picnic on the beach. And the fourth one is watching a old movie on television. With popcorn. Made by me.
Okay.
Yeah, so
really just treat them the same as we would. We're not going to become masculine and run after them and pursue them.
No.
We're going to let them still pursue us, even though they happen to be more equal male and female.
They're not going to pursue us in all cases. What you're going to do is to find out, does he answer the question, what do you think and what do you want? Or does
okay.
he like the question, how do you feel about what I think and what I want? Let them show
okay.
whether they want to be masculine or feminine in the first 3 months.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. So I just met someone, and he started talking to me first. And I'm trying out your system because I always usually panic when they pull away, and then I start pursuing them, and I lose them. So I'm trying to use your system this time and just
I love it. And I want you to hear what you said. I want to wait to find out what they want and what they don't want before I start running after them.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Surely.
I hope your cold gets better.
It's not a cold. It's acute bronchitis created by inadvertently have my house rid of termites, and they use the poison
for the
termites. And I am not a termite.
Oh. Well, like I said, hopefully you'll go better soon. You'll have this weekend to get yourself better. But thank you very much for the info, because I was wondering about that.
Good.
Thank you, Colin.
By the way, there is a set of CDs that is the over 50 relationship.
That's right. And
I need to get that. That's what I'm saying. I saw it on your thing, but I don't have the thing for CDs. I wish you had a download MP3s.
Well, you know what? We might end up working on that. But
Wait a minute. Those are MP3s.
No, they're not. They're DVDs, Pat.
But oh, they're DVDs.
Yeah, they're DVDs. But you know what, caller? Keep watching our wantistore.com.
I will, because I don't have a DVD to play it. That's why I didn't order it. I saw that, and I thought, she doesn't have a book about it either, because I looked on Amazon.
Wait a minute.
I didn't see a book
inside.
For over 50 either.
Right. The book,
no, the book is there.
With the CD series, with the DVD series.
The whole bullet, the little brochure goes with it. All the tools are on there.
Okay, well, like I said, I don't know if I can get that because I have to buy a DVD player. But thank you, though. Thank you for info. It's a 50 is different. The mixing or feminine.
It's a neurobiological. And there's another one written by Dan Siegel about brainstorms about the dopamine-deprived teenagers that have to go crazy during their teens in order to produce enough dopamine to be happy, because nature wants to kick them out of the house.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't need that. My son is in his 20s now.
Oh, that's
I'm through
great.
That age now.
That's great.
But anyway, so like I said, though, I just don't want to make the same mistake over and over again with the men I'm dating.
Don't do it. I definitely know. I've buried the last three men in my life. I don't divorce, and they don't divorce me. But I wish they would live. But they don't.
Well, the one that just died, the one in Houston.
He died.
But I mean, did you guys just come here and visit you and go there and visit him, or did you travel together? How did you arrange it since it was long distance?
He was a control freak. In the army, he was during the Korean War. In the army, he was so good as the director, they put him in a Turkish uniform and put him in the army. And when Eisenhower's son went to visit, he heard about him, this American dictator boss in a Turkish uniform, and he ordered him out of the Turkish uniform. Be proud you're American. But do you know what about the Turk War? Chinese, God love them, are afraid to lose their heads.
Right.
So all the Turks took out all their swords, and they would have barbecues in the camps.
Yeah, intimidation.
With the cords.
Right.
Never bothered them.
Thanks so much, caller. All right, we got another caller.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Ellen. Thanks for being so patient. Do you have a question for us tonight?
Hi, I do. I'm actually wanting to have a question regarding about the men that I'm attracting. They're not the right type of men that I'm looking for.
Wait a minute.
Learning the right lesson.
You're looking for them. That makes you the man.
Yes.
So what men, what kind of men are looking for you?
I want a man
somebody
can cherish me.
I didn't say that. I said, what's coming after you?
What kind of men? They're more like a feminine man.
Wait a minute. What are they like, the men that want you?
They tend to be Peter Pan.
You mean they want to make love to you? They want to cook your meals?
Yeah.
They want to cuddle?
Yeah.
Honey, they want to be your wife.
They don't want to commit.
Caller.
So I'm not attracting the right man.
Caller.
No.
Caller.
Wait
you have
a
to turn your radio
turn
down.
Turn your radio down.
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
Oh, I'm not on the radio.
Oh, well, then somebody is. Maybe we are.
No,
okay.
That's
here's what
here's
I want
to
say to you. I want
I
you
want
to practice
to
being a woman with a man who's a woman. So when he says, where do you want to go this weekend? You say, I don't know. Do you want to make love? I don't know.
Okay.
You know what that's called? Fake beta.
Okay. Okay.
Can you act retarded?
Can I act like, sorry?
Retarded.
I can act, you mean like be a blonde?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So
will you
say
be
things
a blonde?
That I don't actually really know?
Here, do you know what the word you got? I want everybody, every woman that's listening, anywhere in the world, to read the definition of acquiesce.
Okay, can you spell that?
What?
What is it again?
Acquiesce. Kelly, do you know how to spell it?
A-C-Q.
Oh, okay, yeah.
E-S-C-E.
Okay. because the last relationship
Wait
I had,
minute.
I wrote one
I
of those
want to, no, no.
It,
I want I, to define what acquiesce is. Acquiesce is when you do something they want you to do that you wouldn't do if you were single, but you will do if you're on a team with somebody.
Okay.
Would you practice it for 1 week, acquiescing to men you like so that they believe you're a blonde beta imitator?
No, so they believe you're real, but we know you're an imitator. But
you know what? I've had so many men say, it isn't that I want her to surrender, it's that I want her to know that I have an easier time doing it for her.
Exactly. We've got another caller. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. I had called in a couple times before. I had written a hi-bye letter.
Yes.
Too soon. And so I'm just calling to follow up. He ended up contacting me again.
Of course he did. How many weeks? How many weeks?
How many weeks? The reason he...
How many weeks was it in between the time that you...
Oh, it was like a week.
And I want you to know, listen to what I'm going to say. If he reaches out to you based on a high buy, I want you to know that if he calls you before 4 weeks are done, he is so nuts about you that he thinks he really wants you. By 4 to 6 weeks, he hates you for wanting you, but he knows he wants you. And if he doesn't call you in 8 weeks, he loathes you for being in love with you, right? But he can't help himself. And so if he called you in a week, he's barely hiding from you. So what did you
do? Well, it was more to tell me that he was still has feelings for his ex, and I found out that it's his fourth ex. He had told me he had been married once. I didn't understand he had been married and divorced four times.
That's fine.
So maybe he was calling me to let me off the hook, or maybe he was feeling guilty.
No, he was calling you to see if he could seduce you into being a fake monster masculine female. Did you have a sexual relationship with him?
Prior, yes.
You did. Did you get a contract for commitment, long-term, monogamy, continuity?
Yes, but he didn't uphold it.
I understand that. He changed his mind. And did you chase him? You did just a hi-bye letter.
Well, texting gets you in a whole lot of trouble.
What trouble?
Just commenting or, just getting back when I just needed to just cut things off completely. So I don't know. Maybe I encouraged him by text. I mean, I try not to text because I really hate texting.
Well, you made a mistake by high-buying him early.
Yes.
But once you did, he answered you in 1 week.
But it was more like, come over to my hotel room. It wasn't like, hey, I really want to build a relationship.
Wait a minute. He figured when you high-bied him early, you signaled how much you loved him. Listen to what I'm saying. It is a neurobiological phenomenon that rumination is a feel-think, neurobiologic operation. It's not Pat Allen BS. It is science. And you made a mistake when you did that, and he thought you were nuts about him, so he said, come to my place and look at my etchings, amongst other things. Do you see? So the truth of the matter is, if I were you, and if he ever reached out to me for calling you within a week, I would be nice to him. I would not ask to see him. I would not interview him. I would just be a friend.
Okay, so you wouldn't be concerned about being married and divorced four times, and he said, I'm horrible at relationships, really, you don't want me.
I'm going to tell you, my first marriage was to a man to get out of the house. My mother in debt wouldn't let me be a nun or go in the military. So I married the first guy that asked me out, right? Had four kids with him. The second husband I met in AA. We were a couple of drunks on a motorcycle, for God's sake. The third husband was a nice gentleman, and he came from a good family, and he was willing. We bought a house because he had been in the military, and I need whatever. My husband had divorced me. I wonder why. Anyway, he and I were married for 3 years, and then I did a big run of single. No, I didn't do that. I did that between the other two. Then I married a man, basically, who was a negotiation. He lived in one city and I lived in another, and he didn't really want to get married, and I didn't want to get married either. So we visited each other and went around the country. And the fourth man was the husband I was married to for 18 years, 15 years legal and 3 years non-legal, you know, mating. And he died on April 12th of this year. And we had a wonderful relationship. Each one of my marriages taught me a lesson. I know how to be married now, and I would not stay improperly married. So what's wrong with being married four times?
That in of itself isn't, but he wasn't forthcoming about it, and he didn't tell me. And
me?
And also thing about the ex.
No, the man.
The what?
Being in love with the ex or having feelings for the ex.
The man she's talking about.
Okay, talk to me about the man.
He wasn't forthcoming with her. He didn't tell her that at first.
What, he didn't?
He kept from her that he'd been married four times, like it was a secret.
Oh, yeah. No, honey, those first 6 months are perfect and imperfect. They tell you the truth that they want you to buy. Don't buy it. I don't trust human beings. We're the only animal that can commit a crime and a sin. Assume the worst, and when you get to 6 months, you got a 50-50 chance at knowing what kind of good people or bad people they are. Then you negotiate in the third month period, 6 to 8 months. You make agreements, and then you watch how they keep them or they break them. And in the fourth 3 months, you raise your right hand to Pat Allen. Raise your right hand. We're going to do a pledge. I promise.
Okay. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
Never.
Never.
Will I commit to a finite, fallible human being?
Will I commit to a finite, fallible human being?
Instead. I will commit to the relationship.
I will commit to the relationship.
I will do my half.
I will do my half.
And I hope to God they do theirs.
I hope to God he does his.
No, I hope to God they do theirs like you do yours. And
yeah,
if you don't, that's it. So please, do not terminate him if he calls you. Find out if he's learning the lesson of committability. It's, you
but
know.
What happened?
What?
Because he said he fell in love with his ex, so it's been over 2 years.
I got news for you. The truth of the matter is the ex thinks he's a pile of shit. And she's basically turning him down, and that's turning him on.
People seem to want what they can't have.
People always want what they can't have.
The
chase
is magnificent. Yeah, the chase
is norepinephrine addiction.
Yeah.
Caller?
I think if I give him space and act like I don't want him, he'll realize that he maybe does want me.
Yes. That's right.
You got it.
Okay.
You just got it.
So I want you to act like, have you ever been with somebody that you really didn't have any chemistry for?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you care if they didn't show up for a date?
No.
Yeah, not really. You were like, I get to shampoo my hair now and put on toenail polish, and I don't have to get up and get ready to go out with him. Glad he didn't show up. Good. Popcorn.
I got news for you. Norepinephrine addicts, and you can read the book by Robert Sapolsky, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Norepinephrine addicts, women that is, never want sex, therefore they're buried under sex. They don't care if guys come or go, therefore the guys are pounding on their doors. The worst thing a woman can do is exhibit her passion for her man. Because once she does that, he gets to be the woman.
Yeah. Oddly, I tend to be a norepinephrine addict. It's just, I don't know, with him it's a little bit different. I don't know.
Try not caring.
Sorry?
Try not caring. Let them do whatever they're going to do and continue to treat them with respect.
Okay.
Good. And then call back.
Okay. Thanks a lot, ladies. Have a good night.
Thanks, Connor. Bye. All right. Some fast and furious calling going on there, Dr. Allen. So, listen, we have a lot of women talking about alpha men right now, a lot of questions about alpha men, and a lot of women don't understand what it takes to dance with an alpha man, if you will. So,
dance with him.
They're asking questions that, of course, I'm not certain that we could answer, but I will tell you what they're saying. They're asking, if the average time it takes an alpha...
And by the way, the book is about negative alphas, The Natural History of the Rich, which means born with. The Natural History of the Rich by Richard Conniff is a good book about the dark side of alpha men.
Right. Okay.
And there's another book out there, which I wrote with James Hanrahan, and it's called Dating Advice for Alpha Women.
Mm.
I'm giving some on the air right now.
Okay, so here's what this girl asked. If the average time it takes an alpha man to ask a girl on a date is 15 minutes of talking, does this time frame apply for second dates and third dates as well?
No, because on the first date, number one, if he reaches out to you, he's either reaching out for a relationship or he's reaching out for a lay. One or the other. Do you see?
Right, exactly.
If he's reaching out for a lay and you don't put out, you're done. Except that the fact that you didn't put out fascinates him because he can't figure out why, you bitch, you didn't put out. Because he used his best technique, he did what he thought would work, and you acted like you didn't care. Then that's what they do when they do that. But if you, every 2 weeks, turn him down for having sex, because that's what they do. The rumination effect is every 2 weeks, they think about you and why you got away.
Right.
And then they say, either following at the end of 8 weeks, what does it take to get you? And you say, monogamy, continuity, and longevity. But we've only known each other just not even a month.
Right.
2 months.
Right.
And that's the point. Now you got it. I'll date you without intercourse, but I'm not giving you intercourse. That's penile insertion in mouth, anus, and vagina.
Right.
Because when that happens, you're getting married, lady. We marry from the neck down. They marry from the neck up. That's why they say, I'm not going to get married until I'm 35. Well, what happens if you're in love? Well, who cares about love? I want to get married for a reason.
And love is not a reason to them. So that makes perfect...
That's a relationship.
Right. That makes perfect sense. Do you have a question?
Okay, yeah, sure. So, like you were saying, men get married from the neck up?
Yeah, they do. They decide, do I have enough money? Do I want to have kids? Do I...
So really it comes down to psychological thinking?
What?
So really it kind of comes down to, like, logical thinking as to whether or not they're going to ever get married?
Intuitive.
Okay.
They use intuition. And they use their intuition based on their mom and dad's marriage. Or they base it on their mom and dad's marriage, why they don't want to get married.
Okay.
Or they're impacted by the crowd they travel with. If it's a bunch of bachelors, they stay bachelors. If it's a bunch of guys that peel off as married men, they eventually peel off as a married man too.
So why is it that they're so subject to peer pressure that if they're around a bunch of bachelors, they'll stay that way?
They don't stay that way past 25 to 27. That's when they start settling down. And the truth is, we think by instinct. We are not limited by logic. We don't feel good, we don't do. They don't care what they feel. They care what they do.
And so it's only later on when they become more bondable, when they, after 50, that they become more feeling-oriented?
Oh, they're very... Over 50, they are glue. Under 45, they are still rippling water. And if you happen to get
flowing whichever way they will.
Huh?
Flowing whichever way they will.
Whichever, they just live. We run the Committability Show. And now that Women's Lib has taught us that we're men, we are not now running the Committability Show. Too many women in their 40s don't have marriage, don't have kids.
Yeah. We got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Dr. Pat. My question is, my fiancé and I are doing really well. He's at work right now, but
Who's the man?
We want to know. Everything is going well, and so we want to keep that same flow going.
Well, what's the flow? Is he the man or is he the woman?
He's the man.
And you are the woman.
That's correct.
And yes, you are the couple that calls in together usually, right?
That's correct. Yes, and he's at work right now, so we were wanting to know what is your experience of keeping the relationship going now that we've been together for 3 months?
Well, you've done the perfect period.
Right, but they're going through the imperfect period, and they want to stay together. They want to keep their good relationship good and
then
bonded.
Every week, set aside a little piece of time with no phones, no TVs, no nothing, and say to them the following. What do you think about our relationship and how I treated you this month? And what could I have done to help us do better, honey, sir? And he says, how did you feel about our relationship this month? And what could I have done to help us feel better? Those four questions will open up communication that is driven by respect and cherishing.
So it's a dynamic relationship. In other words, you're always growing because you're always inquiring to one another how and what and the why of what went on in case there was something that came up or maybe it's just something that you'd like to have happen.
That whatever it is.
It opens up that dialogue, which is incredibly important in a relationship. Communication is so important.
And the communication, respectable and cherishing, is very dynamic. And then the other thing is that's what you do weekly. That's a 15-minute lease. Anyway, go someplace alone with nobody and have a talk.
Okay.
And then every year, every 2 months, the first year, negotiate time, space, money, and play. You see?
Yeah.
That's another bigger conversation. The other one could be 15
minutes. Can you expand upon that a little bit, Dr. Pat?
Okay. Under time, am I getting enough eye time? I get to go to my girlfriends. I get to do something, go to the gym. Am I getting enough eye time? Is he getting enough eye time? Are we getting enough we time, the day to week or whatever? And the time the couple is nobody invited. I have people say, well, he and I have a date every week. We go to a movie every Thursday night. That's not we time. That's us time. That's you, and them on the movies.
Right.
Do you see? So how much we time? Then you do us time. How many times do we go to see the family? How many times do we have people over? What do we do to get a society situation going? That's time. Space. Space is, how do you live together if you're living together? I don't believe in living together without at least a commitment ring. By commitment ring, that's a promise ring, but especially an engagement ring. Never live with somebody without an engagement ring, unless you don't plan to marry. If you don't plan to marry, that's the only ring you're getting, and I have no problem with that. Then the third category is money. Do we put dollar for dollar in an account and use that to pay the bills for the relationship or the entertainment? or do we keep our money in our each individual accounts? And then do we do a split of dollar for dollar, or one person makes more money, man or woman, and they put in more dollars. And then play, I, we, and us. Is there anything your partner does of a non-sexual nature, be on the phone, do this, do that, that you don't like? Now's your chance to bring it up. He to you, is there anything you don't want me to do of a non-sexual nature? Yeah, you're always on the computer. So what can we do about that? Well, I go to bed at 8 o'clock, go on the computer. So that's the non-sexual. Then the we is a list of things you want to do. Oh, I didn't know you wanted to take ballet. Honey, you really do. Oh, it's the newest sport. Oh, okay. That could be him.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to go to a bullfight in Mexico. Tijuana, wherever. You find out things that you each like that you invite the other one to participate in. And then us time. Do you want to belong to a poker club? Do you want to play bridge? What do you want to do with a group of people?
Right. Do you want to play golf or right. go sailing? Or?
And you have no idea how many men, when they retire, want to play golf with the men, but also with couples.
Right.
They want, the men like that.
Right.
Okay. And last but not least, sexual. Is there anything you don't like me to do or I don't like you to do that has sexual overtones? Patting guys on the cheek, kissing them on the cheek, guys patting her on the buns, you know. Oh, just friends. And then what do you want in the way of sexuality? There's two ways to communicate, talking and touching. I recommend my book, Getting to I Do, page 218. Page 218 is a page that says, if you want a really sensuous sexual life, please incorporate water, massages, nonverbal music, change all the senses, do you see?
Right.
And do a sensate focusing experience. Bodies forget each other. Pretty soon, you're forgetting the pleasure of the dopamine produced by sex.
Right. Often we get too busy. We get caught up in our hectic lives, and we forget.
And set the alarm at 3 o'clock mm-hmm. and have a great time.
Right.
Lock the doors from the kids.
Right.
And make love. People who only want to have sex rarely make love. People who want to predominantly make love have wild sex periodically.
Right.
So, and then there's us time. There are couples that want an open relationship. I am a therapist, not a moralist. I have to report child abuse, elder abuse, and disabled adult abuse. I do not have to report polygamy. So if you
or
want,
swinging or anything,
or swinging,
right?
That's exactly right. So if people and they see that on that piece of paper that I give out, which is chapter 14 in the book. So doing a 218, we all know what a 69 is. Okay, we got that. Now you know what a 218 is. That's when you negotiate a sensate focusing experience. And the book on that is Touching by Ashley Montague, third edition.
You got that, Keller?
That's fantastic, yes. One of the things that we've decided together is that we want to have our wedding night. So sexual
you're not married. You want your wedding night before the wedding.
We don't want to have our we want to have our wedding on our wedding day. We want to have our wedding night.
You have not had intercourse.
That's correct.
And you've done everything else.
No, we're not having any. We're not having any oral sex or no.
No, that's intercourse. That's intercourse. I'm talking about hand chops, letting him go down on you, you know, hugging and kissing. What do you do?
No, we're hugging and kissing, and we sleep together, you know, nude.
That's enough.
But we're not having any type of
penetration,
hand job, or so. And that's just the decision we've both made together. And it's enhanced our friendship. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah, it does. You know, no friendship advances past the first lay. That's intercourse. Now, you're more conservative than I am. When a man is willing to give oral sex to a woman, her clitoris loves him. I say the tongue was built by God. Not a lot of people believe God made genitals. God made genitals. They're as good as anything else in our body. So when a man gives a woman oral sex, right, he is pleasuring her without the danger and the risks of verbal, anal, and vaginal intercourse, where a lot more is going on. So you have a right to set your limits. They just have to be more prudent than mine.
Right. Okay. So so that's what we're doing. So.
Do it.
Yes, it's fantastic.
All right.
So the friendship just keeps blossoming, and it's just amazing.
So you know what the two.
And we're engaged, and we're living together.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Have you guys set a date?
Not. Yeah, next year, but we haven't set a date yet because we're still trying to figure out which church or temple or whatever to get married at.
Right. That's cool, though. And you guys are working on that together?
Yes.
As part of your relationship, working on it? Yeah, because a lot of couples, they don't do that. You know, either the woman handles it and then she becomes resentful, or the man doesn't get maybe something that's really important to him because...
Oh, you got to negotiate. That's why you've got to do... the relationship contract items every 2 months for a year, every 4 months for the second year, every 6 months for the third year. Do you see?
Now, Pat,
we
understand that. What we're one of the questions...
And never less than once a year for life.
Now, I have a question about negotiating the actual wedding day, negotiating, you know, putting the wedding together. So... how do you negotiate on that? Do you negotiate the same way?
He asks her when it depends on what style of relationship they have. If they have a convenient relationship, either one of them can bring it up.
Right.
With an appointment.
No, they're decided they're getting married, but like the wedding plans.
I know.
Okay.
Acute bronchitis.
Yeah.
Now, if they're in a convenient relationship, either one, he can say, honey, I have a date in mind for our getting married. When would it be comfortable for you to hear my ideas? Today, hopefully.
Right.
Or she can say, darling, I have an idea about when we can get legally married. When would it be convenient for you to hear my ideas?
So they can really do that on all elements of the wedding, like, you know, where they're going to have it, what church, you're going to do it on the beach, all that stuff.
All that stuff. Time, space, money, and play. Same questions. Then, if they're in a codependency, there are some religions love codependency, there are some cultures that love codependency, then the boss person says, we are getting married on.
Right. Right.
And the other person could say, no, I'm leaving.
Right.
But that's about it.
That's about it.
And the third one is a covenant. Now, in a covenant, there is a breadwinner, respectable.
Right.
And there is a homemaker, cherishable.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that in mind, if anybody's thrown up out there, please dump it in the toilet. Just leave it alone. I will promise to get well and stay alive, but you're going to have to go through. Yeah, you're going to have to go through this. Now, in a covenant relationship, that one looks closely like a convenience, except that there isn't multiple choice. In a covenant, they're both wanting pretty much respect and cherishing,
right,
especially if they're 45 and above. But in a covenant where they're raising kids and he's going to work and whatever, there's usually a breadwinner and a homemaker. Now, in this particular thing, men, if they know a loan store, can get a tuxedo. Being a woman getting married is exactly like running for president. And here's the secret. Men pray that women will not change after the wedding.
Right.
Women pray men will change after the wedding. And they usually have a pretty good idea that there are going to be problems when they plan the wedding.
So it's sort of a precursor into where you might run into problems. What do you think about that, caller? Would you agree with that?
What was the last part? It wasn't quite clear.
Why would it be clear? I'm coughing.
She said that she thinks that you know, when you get problems in the wedding, making the wedding plans, that
the games come out.
Yeah, the games come out.
The men say, "You're so controlling and demanding," and she says, "You're so flexible. You act like you don't even care."
Right, you're too lethargic.
Oh, okay.
We enjoy you guys calling. We're sorry that he was at work tonight and he didn't get to share with us, but I hope that you'll call back with us again and give us an update.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you.
You're welcome.
It's so very helpful.
I'm enjoying.
Keeping smiles on our faces.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you. Keep it up. You guys are great. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left.
Yes.
So I just want to ask one more question from our Facebook audience.
Yes, please do.
Because they put out those questions and they're like, "Oh, Dr. Allen didn't answer it," and I'm like,
"No, oh. I'll answer it.
Okay, so what we've got going on is we have a lot of alphas surfacing right now. And so the one alpha woman is saying, what about us?
Don't forget, an alpha is a person who equally listens to his intuition and his instinct.
This alpha woman is saying...
And you know what they do when they can't figure it out? Use mind-altering chemicals. When men use mind-altering chemicals, they go with intuition. They go with instinct. When women use mind-altering chemicals, and that includes sugar...
Yeah.
When women use sugar or any mind-altering chemicals, they go up into their heads and become intuitive, which is so limited by logic that, you know, well, it's logical. My mother did it that way. Do you like what your mother's got? No. Well?
Well, there's a problem then, isn't there? So, awesome. I think that pretty much answers her question. She says she feels like sometimes because she's an alpha that she'll always be alone. And
no,
she doesn't want to be.
That's a good question. When you're an alpha, you have to figure out which side of your temperament is going to get married.
Right.
Like, I'm a career woman right now. Being married to me would be like being married to nobody.
Right.
Okay? But I love dating and relating. You see what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, exactly. And that's what I was saying to her, too. She was saying, I feel as an alpha, I'm always going to be alone. I don't want a fake beta, and I don't want to compromise who I am. I'm a powerful woman.
No, I can be as stupid as I want to be, and I can be a genius. That's the decision. Right now, I want to be a genius. I don't want to be stupid.
Exactly.
So the best I can hope for is a boyfriend.
And that's okay.
I don't have any problem with a boyfriend.
There you go. Now then, what are you going to say to us tonight before we say goodbye?
Well, I can't think of many new and nice things, so I'm going to use the old one. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Yes. Okay, everybody, I want to thank you all for coming tonight, and I want to remind you to follow us on Facebook. Tweet with us because we love that. Check us out on Google+. We love your little ones. And visit drpatallen.com and find our products, including that fantastic set of Relationships Over 50 at www.wantistore.com. And we want to say tonight to a friend that we lost yesterday and we found out today, to Jeff, who I lovingly call Santa Claus. Sail on and farewell. And we will miss you. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Be back with us next Friday. Until then, loving. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.